Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
We are going to spend the rest of the hour talking about our mental health. This is a time of year when many hit a wall. We know that depression and anxiety have been up as much as threefold since the start of the pandemic. We know the holidays, while restful and healing for some, can be also isolating and heartbreaking for some. And we know that we've got long months of darkness and winter remaining ahead of us. So how are you feeling right now? How are you doing? Are you or someone you love struggling with feeling isolated or anxious or overwhelmed by the moment? Or maybe you have strategies that are helping you or people that you know avoid the wall, and you want to share that. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. We have two therapists joining us now for this conversation. Omar Ruiz is a marriage and family therapist and the owner of Talk, Think, Thrive Counseling Services in Wellesley. And Claire Willis is a clinical social worker and the co-founder of the Boston nonprofit Facing Cancer Together. She also regularly leads bereavement and support groups. And her new book with co-author Maureen Crawford Samuelson is called Opening to Grief, Finding Your Way from Loss to Peace. They've both been on the show over the last several months. Omar, Claire, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So, Omar, how are you? Have you confronted a wall at any point? Are you worried about that, or are you hanging in there during this?
I would say when everything first started, me personally, I had confronted a wall. It was more of around just the basic human nature of needing to survive, like your food, shelter, and then making sure that we're safe. And then as time went on and there were certain safety measures that were put into place, then I felt a bit more relief. And I started also noticing that from a lot of the clients that I would see. As of right now, today, I'm actually doing great because I'm holding on to hope that things are changing.
I'm glad to hear that. Claire, I guess I want to ask you the same question.
You know, it's funny. When this first struck, the publisher of our book said, we need a manuscript immediately. And I think my necessity to focus on the manuscript kept me off of a lot of feelings about it. And one of the things that's been really helpful is just to be talking about grief and all the tendrils of grief that this COVID has brought to different people. It just affected every impact of our life, every aspect of our life. And so I think being a part of trying to work with this and connect with people has really helped keep me off of it. Having said that, I would say, it's funny that you're asking, yesterday morning I woke up and I thought, oh my gosh, the holidays are over and we're looking at 2 to 3 months. And something hit me yesterday. I feel much better today, but I noticed that I really hit a wall yesterday morning.
Thank you for sharing that, Claire. I think for our listeners, it's helpful to know, you know, if this is a tough time, you know, you're not alone in that. Our phone number to call is 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I am going to say this now, and I'll do this once more before the end of the show. I also want to give our listeners some other resources if you need them. So if you have a pen and paper and you're feeling need for immediate help, you can reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-TALK. That's 800-273-8255. And the Samaritans statewide hotline, you can call or text it at 1-877-870-HOPE or 870-4673. Omar, is this a time of year that even not during a pandemic can be challenging for people with mental health?
Certainly. During this time of year, there's a heightened what is called seasonal affective disorder. It's normally just a version of depression because of the changes in time, as well as the sunrise and sunset. And so just on a regular basis, I would see clients, specifically couples, who are dealing with changes in their communication, and that a lot of it tends to be affected by the depression that they're experiencing due to the changes. And when you combine COVID and this pandemic, it just doubles in nature in terms of depression and anxiety symptoms.
And Claire, the holidays are just in our rear view mirror. What do we know about the relationship between this holiday season, and people's anxiety, depression, loneliness, isolation, et cetera?
You know, I think it's multifaceted. I mean, I have a lot of clients who say that the holidays were quite depressing because of the changes that were required. On the other hand, it gave people structure, gave people a focus for their life between Thanksgiving and Christmas. And I think now might begin to be a little bit harder time over the next few weeks until the vaccination arrives and until there's more light and until we can begin to connect, because we've really lost the resources that we normally have for holding grief and for holding a seasonal affective disorder. You know, we can't connect with each other in the ways we used to, and certainly we've lost touch and holding. And those are very comforting things when you're struggling with depression or seasonal affective disorder.
So Omar and Claire, let's go to the phones. 800-423-8255 is the number to join this conversation on mental health. We've got Amy on the line from Lowell. Amy, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to speak as a parent and just say that connecting with nature and being outdoors is an essential life skill. You know, and it'll serve children well either in after the pandemic. So now more than ever, parents just really need to limit screen time. Our kids are on the screen all day with school, so limiting screen time for entertainment is paramount. And kids have just got to put on jackets and put on boots, and they've got to go outside, and they've got to play, they've got to run, and they need fresh air more than ever. And that's a skill that's going to help them with their mental health their whole life if they learn it now.
Thanks for that call, Amy. Let's add Lisa, too. Lisa's in Maynard. Lisa, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to echo, like, actually Amy's sentiment, like, for myself personally as an adult, like, getting outside, whether it's, you know, winter weather or spring, summer, has, like, helped me through this pandemic tremendously, like, outdoor exercise, skiing, hiking, walking, and you don't have to be an expert at, like, really any of those things, but to get out in nature is so soothing for your soul, and it can really, really cure, you know, mental health of any kind, regardless of being in a pandemic. And my nephew, probably to echo any sentiment, is just one of my nephews is like the happiest kid despite like all that's going on, because my sister does like make an attempt to get him outside, and he loves, you know, making snowmen and going for bike rides. Mm-hmm. So it is important, I think, for adults and kids. Like, nature is literally like such a soothing force, and it's so, a lot of times it's free. So
that's a good point, Lisa. So, Omar, what do we know? I mean, there's testimonials from two callers saying this is such an important part of well-being, is being able to be outside, be in nature. What do we know about that from the research, from, you know, therapeutic approaches and strategies?
Yeah, so there's, I'm not an expert around this, but there is a notion of light therapy. And so light therapy is essentially scheduling time to take in some natural sources of light so that you can increase the vitamin D that you're getting from the sun, as well as trying to balance your circadian rhythm, because of the fact that the changes in time zones and the changes in sunrise and sunset has an immediate effect on people. That's why a lot of people, when there's the changes in more sunlight, people are more wanting to go outdoors. And especially that we live in New England, we tend to have to stay inside, because even though we want to be outside, it tends to get very cold and we might get a nor'easter.
So Claire, yeah, the nor'easter was on my mind too, Omar. Claire, I'm going to let you build on Omar, but I'm going to give you an additional question to answer in that, which is, in listening to Lisa and Amy, of course, I'm also thinking social distancing. Kids are, you know, they're asking us not to be together outside our own household. And in skiing, you would need to be, you know, away from other people and not gathering in indoor businesses at too high concentrations, et cetera. So where does the social distancing pressure fit into whether being out in nature is enhancing our well-being?
I want to respond to the first two callers, Amy and Lisa, because there's a lot of research, specifically there's some research by the Kaplans about restorative environments. And when people have been on the screens all day and their eyes are focused, and I'm thinking a lot about children, When you go outside, one of the things about nature that's so restorative is that the eyes rest. There's a way in which the outside comes to you. You're not focusing on that. And that's why after we go outside and we return to work or a project or to a computer, we feel restored. So there's a lot of research about restorative environments. So what people are feeling has some very strong backing. There's so much we can do outside there's so much we can do outside at a social distance that keeps us both safe and comfortable and connected. One of the things I learned from my daughter who lived in Germany is that the Germans have the idea, and I think this is pretty prevalent in Europe, is that there's no such thing as bad weather. There's just not being properly dressed for what is outside. So I would say spending some money on warm clothes, if you have that privilege to do that, get outside as much as you can.
You know, I was thinking, Omar, Beth Tytel is a columnist in the Boston Globe and a friend of the show, and she had a piece in the Globe today about how the pandemic has kind of depleted our emotional reserves, and small things are finally the last straw. At one point, she writes, quote, "Anxiety, panic, and grief have turned us into a nation of cranky toddlers just waiting to blow." And I think we all either have or know someone who's just reached that moment where that last thing happened. Sometimes it's something small, like I can't get what I need from the grocery store, or it's big, like I just lost my job on top of everything else. How do you fight that moment, Omar, when it's just too much?
I would say a lot of it, at least from my experience specifically when I'm working with couples and families, a lot of it's broken down into the connection that you have with loved ones as well as significant others. It's the breakdown of the communication. When you as an individual are struggling with just the feeling of isolation and being overwhelmed and a pattern tends to develop, there's a need to feel connected as a way to gain hope. And when people start losing hope, that's when you start seeing severe mental health issues such as suicidal thoughts and actions. And so one of the things that I would highly suggest for people is to connect with those who provide you some sense of value, even if it means if we have no choice but to connect with them virtually or through FaceTime, as well as going with the notion of going outside, staying with a routine of healthy best practices, such as the food that we eat, creating a certain sleep pattern, disconnecting from online so that we can reconnect with our loved ones. And the last is incorporate a healthy and an achievable exercise routine.
Let's go back to the phones. We've got Ingrid on the line in Roslindale. Ingrid, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to point out that I thought all those ideas about nature are great, but in the city of Boston, not everybody has that access where their kids can just run outside and go skiing and bicycling. And a lot of people living in, like, say, three-family houses can't do that. So it would be really nice if the city were able to do something to help those kids, you know, and adults as well.
Thanks for that call, Ingrid. I'm going to add on one other with you. Elisa is on the line from West Roxbury. Elisa, go ahead.
Hi, yes. I just had a similar concern about different activities and just access to people have to them. What are some things that people can do for their mental health that, you know, may not be in the privileged position to get out into nature or to do skiing or other activities?
Thanks for that, Elisa. So we've got two callers, Claire and Omar, saying, hey, access to nature, whether from a social justice perspective, shouldn't be, but can be and often is a privilege. And what are other strategies? Both, it's a call, I think, from Ingrid for us to address that social justice issue, but also what are other strategies people can use for themselves, their kids, when that kind of access to nature isn't available? Claire, a thought on that?
The first thought that comes to my mind, and it may sound kind of paradoxical, but I know some of my grandchildren have done this, is that at the end of the day, to have the family and the children write down three good things that happened that day. There's a lot of research about the benefits, psychological benefits of keeping a gratitude journal, because as much as there is wrong, there are some things that are right. And when we could redirect our attention towards what's right, we build our capacity to hold suffering, and we build our resilience. And there's a lot of research about that. So that's the first thing that came to my mind.
And Claire, sorry about that. I think we might have just had a caller voice kind of come in through there for a second. I do want to go back and grab another call. I think we'll go to Ashley in Salem. Ashley, go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I just want to talk about the conversation around the connection between the pandemic and trauma. We know that when someone has experienced a traumatic event, they are often left with this heightened sense of awareness and paranoia. And I feel that on a daily basis, no matter what I do, there is this ever-looming threat to anything I do. And I just wanted to ask you about that.
It's a great question. And Omar, I'll turn that to you. And we noticed in preparing for today that Vox actually did an analysis that found that the incidence of depressive or anxious symptoms among Americans almost exactly mirrors the rate of infection and the level of infection of the coronavirus in the United States. So there's some data there to what Ashley's saying.
What I would say is to quickly point out for the other two callers in terms of like very concrete things of what folks can do if they don't have the privilege to be able to go outside is one, try to do something that you can do indoors that normally you can take advantage outdoors, such as an indoor gardening. Second is invest times in doing family activities such as puzzles and board games, because if there's a lot of concerns around the amount of screen time that people are taking in, then try to go and do old school activities such as board games or puzzles. And then the last one is to join virtual clubs that allow for such physical activity, such as there are certain local gyms that even though they're currently closed in Boston, they allow for online workout routines. And to incorporate more light, you can easily undo your blinds and open up less shade in the household. So that's just some things. And also just create a different an environment within your household, such as like scents. I've worked with certain providers in collaboration with the couples that I work with just to create scents. Like there's this collaborator called Mimi Scented Candles that they could provide certain scents to help you change your environment. And so to go back quickly on the trauma piece, trauma has affected many different people's lives across this nation as well as within the city of Boston. I would say the number one advice I can give is to reach out to a healthcare provider. They are providing teletherapy or what is called telehealth to be able to get support. And for those who haven't seen their doctors, try to schedule your annual physical, even if you can't physically or you're uncomfortable physically going to your local clinic or hospital, to try to set up an appointment with your doctor so that way you can assess whether or not you need support or if you're experiencing symptoms of depression, anxiety, or changes in mood, that could be addressed by a professional.
So we won't have time to go back to the phones, but Claire, we did have a couple of callers, Mary and Deanna, who both wanted to say this is a time that has both forced us and given us an opportunity to use the phone, to use Zoom, to connect with people we love that we might not otherwise. And also saying, you know, when we do have that moment when we hit the wall, we need to be forgiving of ourselves. And I know that's something that you've thought about and talked about in the past. Maybe you can wrap us up there, Claire.
I just want to say a couple of things. One of the things is that a lot of the grief we feel for what we've lost is love that has nowhere to go. We grieve what we've lost and loved. And I think that's a way to frame it and to allow grief to have a fuller expression. This isn't going to change too quickly in the foreseeable future. So I think some of these techniques that Omar was talking about, and the one thing I would add to it is using journaling, because there's a lot of research about writing about feelings and not keeping them inside that's important in terms of stressing our bodies by inhibiting how we feel. And so that's just another resource I would urge people to think about during this difficult time.
Well, you've both been so helpful. Claire Willis is a clinical social worker and the co-founder of the Boston nonprofit Facing Cancer Together. She's co-author with Maureen Crawford Samuelson of the book Opening to Grief, Finding Your Way from Loss to Peace. And Omar Ruiz is a marriage and family therapist and the owner of Talk, Think, Thrive Counseling Services in Wellesley. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you for having me.
And just one more time, listeners, you can reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 and the Samaritans statewide hotline, call or text, at 877-870-4673 if you're feeling like you need some help right now.